I've got someone, Ziegler and Bob too, this is not, this is too important to us, but it is something. And this whole business of dealing with the press, thank God I went ahead and did that press thing last week.
Yes.
Cause we got on the record, we got the.
Just right.
Got the whole thing covered, and we had a press thing, they can't squeal about that, right?
Yep, that's very, very good, Dave.
Where's Tommy now?
At the Madison Hotel.
Okay, do you, how, what do you wanna try and do, do you wanna?
Well, I would say that his schedule would prevent, that possibly I could see him by 5:30.
5:30?
Yeah.
Tommy should be over at the Madison Hotel, we should see if the.
See if I have a bill at 5:30.
You see the person.
Everybody would be at, okay, fucking, take care of it.
Get dinner at 7:00.
How about the healthcare and all that bullshit?
Oh, you have the office.
That's right, your timing is, your sense of timing is just right.
John is available and he has a dinner at 7:00.
Oh, is he sensitive?
Who?
Tommy.
What now?
Oh, I did, I reported it to him.
No. That is like a witness.
What's he doing today, John?
Oh, great.
He'd like to talk to you about that.
Tell us all about it, John. What all did John have to say?
Nothing.
Boy, he's got a fine provision in there. I hope he's ready for required spending $4 million extra highway. No more with only.
Great jobs.
Great jobs, right.
He likes very nice.
He does.
actually has a subtle connection between your action of taking him or your proposal and the fact that we've had stability actually a little defined in the wholesale price of beef since you did that. And you can see it in the import of the upgrading fast in the futures. So I think that was an action that at least had some impact. And what did we talk about?
Allison budget is not worth a goddamn estimation, that's also been pulled by about 65 to 35. So what do you find then? People are only interested in spending if it affects their taxes. If cutting spending cuts their taxes, they're for it. If raising spending raises their taxes, they're against raising. But if spending simply means we get more from the government, it doesn't hurt, therefore that's spending. Here's what you do about the spending thing, therefore. What we've got to do with gas and so is a vote for the spending ceiling is a vote against higher taxes. A vote against higher taxes. You cannot say that if the spending ceiling is not passed, there will be higher taxes. I wouldn't be calling on that. Because then we have to say, oh no, the president will fight this lonely battle by himself. And we'll have to veto things and hope to Christ that Congress doesn't override the vetoes. But put it another way, a vote for a spending ceiling is buying insurance against higher taxes. If you don't have a spending ceiling, an irresponsible Congress, despite all the tremendous efforts of the president to stop this damn spending, will add to the budget, and inevitably you're going to have higher taxes. I wouldn't confuse it, because you have to if you're going to be totally sophisticated, and say either higher taxes or higher prices. I have often said that. It's really true. We all know that you don't have to raise taxes. You just have a big deficit and let inflation rise. But I think that we ought to present it this way. Unless we get that if you want no higher taxes, you've got to spend anything. That'll put the McGoverns, for example, particularly McGovern and our political opponents, in the position that if they vote against the spending ceiling, they are voting, in effect, for higher taxes. You make that issue later. It's really quite true that if you don't have the damn spending ceiling, there's a very good chance that the Congress will run away on the spending front, and the next year we're set up for the property tax. There's another reason to do this, which we have to recognize in the quiet of this room, and that is that the goddamn Congress does continue to expand. If they override the vetoes, with the thought that, oh, it will cut all out of defense, which they'll never do, but if they continue to do we may be faced with the necessity for higher taxes. And I don't want to be in a position that we can't put the blame squarely where it belongs on the goddamn Congress, because it's the Congress that's succeeding the budget. So I think the spending ceiling, I think an all-out assault should be made on the spending ceiling front, not because it holds spending down, but because we want to avoid increasing taxes. Now, from a political standpoint, that's the greatest way to sell it, I would say. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think it's plain.
High the taxes and put every senator or congressman on a spot where if he votes against a spending ceiling, he, in effect, is telling the American people your taxes are going to go up.
I think it's played very well so far. The final version, which is quite different than the original draft, I think it's very good. I think it's good, tough stuff. And I think
so far, the reception's been very good. Steve Boyer, John, and the rest, but it's very good stuff. But on that, coming back to the other points, real question, whether, as I see it, on two fronts, I think the economy is considering everything is doing that well. I think looking to the future, things are doing reasonably well. But on the other hand, there are two fronts where, from a political standpoint, we ought to try and make a couple of plays before they function. One is on the price front. And if you can do anything, I mean, what I mean, the food price fund only. I do not want to do something that will impose on the economy a bunch of damn controls that will make it, that is totally irresponsible. The food price fund, you can do something to show concern about it, then we should do it. Other than that, there will be quotas. In other words, people understand it free, they may not understand quotas. On the tax front, George, and we want to talk about this at a later time, we simply are going to have to come up with something that indicates that we cut a tax thing, and then the big hours rather than that. Responsible thing to do if you're going to Third, however, this is the real question. If we could find her, we could find, and out of your fertile Machiavellian mind, if you could find something we could do, something we could do on the control side of the processor, then we ought to do it. If you could find something we can offer in the tax reform field, I mean, maybe we can do the thing soon. Don't worry about Hobart Rome or any of the jackasses that are going to be after us. They're going to be after us, whatever we do. But my point is, if we could have something positive to talk about that. Now, if you can't find it, I understand. But let me say, don't be too damn responsible in that respect.
Step like that, after all we've said, and it is the kind of measure that everybody else.
food prices, and we're going to make a concerted effort, and we're going to focus down this, and we don't approve of it, and we don't defend it, and we think it's bad, and it hits the low guy, and we're for the low guy. And so it comes out next month, and it's a big number. And then the president goes on, and he says, by God, this is terrible. Now everybody's got to rally around, and if it doesn't get better, then I'm going to have no alternative but to do something about it. He begins to identify himself with an attack on that specific problem. Meantime, the rest of the CPI is getting greater once you take that out of there.
Come on, it's too good. A year ago, I think you could have gotten away with that. I think that's tough right now.
Well, you know.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we leave this for a further thought here and see what the problem is? I mean, basically, it's just it's food prices is the only problem. CPI numbers don't, unfortunately, mean a damn thing. Unless they go up too high. I mean, if they, when I say they don't mean a damn thing, I don't think we should just shut them from the house tops and cut the rate of inflation. Try to tell people that they just got a feel. You could say your spend over earnings are up 4%.
I can say that. Fine, they don't believe it.
They don't believe it, but you've got to keep saying it. After all, if you keep saying it, they might start to believe it.
They don't believe their taxes went down.
That's right.
The taxes went down.
14% of the people at 66% below 10. Well, I don't go to
big numbers.
Yep.
They don't give 10%.
People don't realize they're going to tax deduction.
Another.
And I think that should be simply pointed out. The taxes have gone down, inflation has gone down, and the rate of inflation is down.
It's the only way to play this, and I've been trying to do this with audiences, and you just are met with disbelief. You say to people, your taxes have gone down so-and-so, you're the $25,000 grant, your buying power has gone up 4%. Meantime, food prices have only gone up so-and-so. And so you're net better.
I suppose when you start talking about that, you see there's one danger about bragging about this. And the danger is that it appears before the status quo. It just may be, looking at it from a crass political standpoint, that that's not a saleable point of view.
Willing to raise the low income exemption last
should accept no speaking engagements, except a very few that you do in your professional capacity that you would do anyway. I mean, there are certain national associations, I assume you always speak to. Except the opportunities from time to time to go on television on interviews.
Sure.
I think it's a total waste of marine equipment, you or
the health
to speak at any public gathering.
Too late.
Is carried on television.
Too late. Just keep talking. Huh?
What?
Sometimes that's the way
you don't out. Need that as a way to get them on television.
No. I think that if I think
we're all working together, it's all
mission. And the moment you have to make a speech, you've got to prepare something you think is going to be different. You're going to give out a text and all that crap. And basically, I think your greatest, the most important thing you can do is to do Q&A on television from the standpoint of just informing people. And frankly, another thing that can be very, very effective is to talk to other speakers, like the serving types and the rest. You can say, look, here are the facts. They need to be educated. But this business of doing, like the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal or the editorial board of Time Magazine, like, I know they're not important, worth 5 minutes this time. It was worth that a year ago, but 3 months to go, done.
We are right. We can write something. We have one thing going. I think we'll be
that's good.
For us. We're writing a piece about the role of women in the economy that's going to appear in the Ladies' Journal in October.
Excellent.
And we could do something about,
yeah.
Do something about the non-status of young people.
Can you? I do think it ought to be hard enough. You shouldn't write anything that isn't going to be printed before October 5th.
That's right. I'll check it for 5 months.
That's right.
October 1.
That's good.
Right. Anything that's going to come out before, but if the publication is significant enough to, with a broad enough readership, that you know. But I would say this, I couldn't agree more here. You'll be nickel and dime to death. God, they're going to want you to go out and do this club and this group and that group, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I would know the word. I mean, it's TV is the name. TV is the name. And you're all good on it, too. You're good. She's good. Solomon's good. And on that, that requires, of course, homework. You've got to sit and think about the questions. But you can all have them. Prayer if you can ask the question.
I would also argue, and this is the hardest one, that it's a total waste of time for any of you to spend 30 seconds with Hobart Miller. You know, but people keep doing it. Somebody seems to think that somebody reads Hobart Road. And it's too late to worry about affecting people in Washington now because that doesn't make any difference anymore. The material we get
about
people
who do it services like our own staff here. I'm trying to talk. See, virtually every week that there's the staff spends an hour or two with John Osborne. I take a walk. See what he influences on me.
Too late. Forget it. Done.
None of these people are worth the time now. They're not worth it. The only thing now is the direct big audience, and that's television.
Right
now, that's what matters.
Or an interview that, now, going the other way, a thing, I mean, you don't like it, but an interview in U.S. News,
not bad.
Now would still be worthwhile.
Not bad.
Or a thing for Barron's, or a thing for the Wall Street Journal, because it covers national stuff.
But it's an interview this
stuff. Week, or an article, but not
going up and doing a very useful to them at certain times, and you should do it later because that's part of a long-range educational process and it's part of your duties. But basically, we all have to do it. But now, we just say, yeah, I'm just too busy right now.
But if it's the Today Show or the CBS...
Who does it? Let me tell you this, or this can help you, which I think this would be very helpful. Who determines what your schedule is? You determine for the council, or each of them. You let it fix off individually, how's it done?
Well, we receive invitations, some directly. A lot of them are funneled to us from Chuck or from somebody else. And we decide, we talk with Joe, the three of us, so that I think we don't like all of us to be out of town at the same time.
Sure. Well, let me suggest this, Bob. I think you've got to do this. You and Chuck should. There's got to be a screening.